We're beginning chapter 3 of Daniel. Now let me make a point clear. I made the point last week and I'm going to make it again. Because we've done chapters 1 and 2 does not mean that we are finished with chapters 1 and 2. We are building up certain information that will then give us the opportunity to discuss certain significant aspects of Sefer Daniel in broader terms. We have to get a feeling of a Sefer. I'm going to try, I don't know if I'm going to succeed. I want to do chapter 3 today. Chapter 3, there are absolutely moments of pure greatness. It's really the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I most probably am very overly ambitious. I gave you those two sheets. Chances that we will go through them. One sheet, by the way, is Yekum Perkon, Berich Shemei, and again Kori Bone for all of those who lost it from last week. This one you're just going to have to hold on to, because here we're going to refer to over the next few chapters. By the time we've finished it all, my wife suggests we should sing Kori Bone, but you certainly will be the few people who attend shul that are going to know the translation of Kori Bone and Berich Shemei and Yekum Perkon Min Shemei. You're going to know it. And you're going to see how many of the words appear here in Sefer Daniel. The other sheet that you have is the Medrash on Shir HaShirim, and the Medrash on Shir HaShirim elaborates on the events of this chapter. So I'm not sure whether we're going to get to this today, but because we have to learn the chapter first. And as we learn the chapter, we're going to have to deal with certain, or at least raise some of the important questions, and there are historic questions and halachic questions that come to the fore in this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Avad Salem Didahav. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made Salem a statue, Didahav, of gold. We had the word Dahav in the last chapter. Remember, in the last chapter, we had Nebuchadnezzar's dream where he dreamt of this great statue, the Tselem, that had Reisha Didahava, the head was made of gold. And then the other parts of the body were made out of silver and brass and metal and copper and earthenware. And then, you remember, there's a stone that comes out and it shatters the whole this whole great statue. And Daniel is the one who interpreted the dream. Reisha Didahava, the head of gold, that's you, Nebuchadnezzar. All the other parts of the body represent the kingdoms that are going to follow you. And ultimately there's going to be the kingdom of God, which is represented by the stone that comes and shatters the great statue. The kingdom of God is the only one that's going to be forever and ever after. It seems that what Nebuchadnezzar now wants to do is he wants to take action, in a sense, to undo that dream. If in that dream the head of gold was him, he's going to make a statue completely of gold that's going to represent him and his kingdom, in the hope that, whatever kind of hope it is, that he will be able to remain, he and his descendants will remain in power forever. So Nebuchadnezzar Malka Avad Salem Didahav. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a statue of gold. Rumei, its height, Amin Shitin, 60 cubits high. That's very high. That's approximately 120 feet. I still can't translate it into meters, and I most probably will never be able to do so. But there is something significant over here. When he says 60 amma high, last year when we learned Ezra, we learned that Daryovish gave permission to rebuild the Bet HaMikdash, and the height of the Bet HaMikdash, same words, Rumei, its height, Amin Shitin, 60 Amot. What's really happening over here is, after Churban HaBayit, after the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash, which was 60 Amot tall, the main structure, the Heichal with the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 60 Amot tall, Nebuchadnezzar now sees himself as taking the place of the of the Beit HaMikdash. He is now the great power in the world. He is the period after Beit HaMikdash over, gone. And he now rises to a height of 60 amot. Pitoyeh, the width, 6 amot. The width is 6 amot. Chazal, of course, deal with the question that something that is so tall has to have a much wider base. The base has to be a third of the amount of the height. And it says that what indeed happened was every time they erected the statue, it fell. They put it up and it fell. And Chazal say that he took the gold and the silver that he had taken for the Beit HaMikdash and he built a massive foundation and a base to hold his statue. The significance symbolically, of course, is he is going to stand on the ruins of Beit HaMikdash. Doesn't understand that he's mere mortal man, but he's going to find that out. But at this point, Nebuchadnezzar Malkah makes the great statue, 60 amah high, petoye amin shet, its width is 6 amah, akime bibika dura. He erected it in the valley of Dura, bimedinat Bavel, in the country of Bavel. Bikat Dura. According to our rabbis, there are two other things that happened in Bikat Dura. Did somebody else erect something great in a valley of Bavel, and it was really an attempt to overshadow God? The Tower of Babel. Chazal say the Tower of Babel in Parashat Noah, where they were going to make a Migdol v'rosho b'shamayim, a tower with its head going up to the very heavens. That was Be'edet Shinar, and later that place became known as Babel. They erected it in the valley of Dura. But what they don't understand is something else is going to happen in the valley of Dura. There's going to be the great vision of Yechezkel. Yechezkel is going to see the dry bones, and it's in a valley. And he's going to bring, these dry bones are going to live again. The vision of the dry bones, it only says it was in a valley in Bavel. Chazal say, in the valley of Dura. The Bik'at Dura, the Bik'ah of Dura. In a sense, of course, the significance is clear. Man, early in his history, attempts to, in a sense, challenge God by building this great tower in Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar is going to challenge God and attempt to build himself on the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But what they don't know is that in that self-same valley, a people who are dry bones and seem to have disappeared from the scene of history are going to be reborn in that valley. That ultimately life after Nebuchadnezzar and all of his descendants are gone, life is that which will come to Klal Yisrael. The Zohar also says, he identifies all these valleys from Migdal Babel, from the Tower of Babel and further. This is all the same valley where they built the Migdal, where he erected his statue, and where the Yechezkel brought the dead back to life, or God brings them back. Now, Bikat Dura, so one of the Mefarshim on Sefer Daniel says its name is from... Do you have any idea what Dur means? Huh? Huh? No? What did you say? No, let me ask you. I'm thinking out loud. You ever see trucks? What's one of the fuel companies in this country? No. It's door or it's door? No. You're sure it's door? Well, could be it is door. What does it come from? What, it means generation? Is that what it means? No. I believe, I'm speculating, but I think when I speculate, I'm not always wrong. Sometimes I'm right. It comes from the term medura. A medura is a fire. It's fuel that's used for fire. Where was the first furnace? Where was the first furnace erected? In that valley where they made the Migdal Babel. They made a furnace, and in this furnace, the kiln, they made bricks, and the bricks were made in order to build the great tower. The Valley of Dura. Do you know what's going to be now in the Valley of Dura? There's going to be another fiery furnace into which Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are going to be cast. Bikat Dura, it's the valley of fire, of heat, of fuel. Is it too far to say that when Yechezkel sees the bones in the Valley of Dura, they've been baked by the sun and there is absolutely no moisture left in them, completely dead. And Abraham was cast into that first furnace. It's the Netziv who says, why does the Torah have to describe to us the furnace? What's so important to tell us about the furnace? So you should know what kind of a furnace Avraham was thrown into. And of course what we're going to have over here is Nebuchadnezzar is going to want all people to bow down before his statue, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah will refuse. And in the footsteps of Avraham, they are going to be thrown into the furnace. In addition to that, in the footsteps of Avraham, they are going to emerge unscathed and unharmed and unsinged from the furnace. Unuvuchodnetzar Malka. Now, maybe you should also notice, I think previously, Nebuchadnezzar was referred to as Malkon Nebuchadnezzar, Melach before his name. Did we have that at any point? In this perek, he's referred to not as Malkon Nebuchadnezzar or Malka. He is Nebuchadnezzar Malka. His name first. Huh? Chapter 2. Right, chapter 2, what pasuk? 43. 46, tells me out. Right? So what does it say in 46? Beidayin Malka Nebuchadnezzar. That's right. He's referred to, up until now, as King Nebuchadnezzar, and it's in this chapter that he's referred to as Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Nebuchadnezzar the King. Is there a difference? Or is it just a matter of style? You know, of course, the answer to that question. Nothing is just a matter of style. Of course there's significance to it. I haven't found the Mefarshim yet that talk about it, although I'm hunting. But you may recall, the Malbim, I once learned with you in a shir, the Malbim, who says that in Megillat Esther, at times it's Vashti Hamal, Esther is always Elster Hamalka. Esther is always Esther Hamalka. It's Vashti who is sometimes called Hamalka Vashti, and sometimes she's called Vashti Hamalka. And the Malbim says, what's the difference between the two? When queen is said first, that represents an action that she's taking to demonstrate that she is queen in her own right. And a secondary form of identifying her is that she has a name, Vashti. But what is she? A true blue blood who is a queen. Esther was never that. Esther was always an Esther who became Malka by virtue of the fact that she was married to the king. The struggle that takes place between Ahasuerus and Vashti is they're each claiming that the kingdom is theirs in their own right. And by the way, in the very first pasuk of the Megillah, we already get the idea that Nebuchadnezzar is Ahasuerus is a commoner who has risen to power, because it says, "Vayhi bimei Ahasuerus, hu Ahasuerus hamolech mehodu vad kush sheva be'esiv me'adon." In the first pasuk in Gilat Esther, he's not called king at all. He's neither called King Nebuchadnezzar Ahasuerus or Achashverosh king in the days of Achashverosh. Later on, he's going to be called the king Hamelech or Hamelech Achashverosh. But until that point, he's not. Vashti, in the ongoing struggle, when she falls, in a sense, before Achashverosh, then she is Vashti Hamalka. When she is standing up for her sense of dignity, that she is a queen in her own right. And by the way, Vashti was from the family of, she was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. I have a feeling that in this third chapter, the Navi is very clear in using Nebuchadnezzar Malka. Because what's happening over here is he is attempting to compare himself with God, with Bet HaMikdash, and the message is being sent, Nebuchadnezzar, you're a commoner Nebuchadnezzar who was made Malka, was made king by God. God used you as an instrument. You are not a king by divine right. You're not King Nebuchadnezzar. You're Nebuchadnezzar. That's your main form of identification. And your Tudat Zehut number is such and such. And you also happen to be Melech, because God, at this particular moment of history, wanted you to do something for him. But it's in stark distinction to what he wants to present in this perek. In this perek, he wants to demonstrate himself as great Melech. And the Pasuk is saying no.
It's very confusing, because in the previous chapter, it says that Nebuchadnezzar admitted that God was king. It's like he had done tshuva, and all of a sudden
what we're going to be watching here are the ups and downs of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar moves in different ways. We're far from finished with Nebuchadnezzar, so just save that further. Nebuchadnezzar, Pasuk 2, Nebuchadnezzar Malka, again Nebuchadnezzar king. Shalach, he sent, lemichnash. Lemichnash means to gather together. In the Gemara, a bet haKnesset is called Bei Knishta. You know, if you would just take the shin and turn it into a samach, you would have the word that we're talking about, a place of gathering. Isn't that what Esther said to Mordecai? Lech Knos, as call HaYehudim, gather all of the Jews together. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the following leaders of Babel. The Achashdar Penaya, the Signaya, the Pachvata, the Adar Gozraya, the Gedavraya, the Tavraya, and the Tiftaye. Don't. By the way, once you learn them here, I think they're going to be repeated another three or four times. But I'll give you a general idea of what they are. There are a lot of differences of opinion as to what each one of these mean. So therefore, if your Sonsino or something else, or your art scroll says something different, well, too bad. All right. Achashdar Penaya are, I don't know, it's an old word that we used to use, satraps. The satrap, you never heard of this?
Yeah.
Not a rat trap, a sat rap. A satrapia was sort of a machoz, an area that may have included a number of countries. And the signaya is always a sigan, the assistant to the satrap. Pachavata is a governor, a pacha that we had in... we had that in Ezra and Nehemiah a number of times. Zerubbabel was Pechat Yehuda. He was the governor of Yehuda, which means he's the governor of one locale. The Achashdar Benaya, which is a word, of course, that we have in the Gilat Esther too. The Achashdar Benaya were the governors over a larger area. It may have been a few countries. The Pachvata are the governors over a particular state. Adar Gozraya. That's another one. That's Adar Gozraya. It comes from a Persian word which means advisors. Gedavraya. Now, Gedavraya, if you would use one of the rules that we have told you about, first pasuk in this perek, he made a tzalam, Nebuchadnezzar made a statue, di dahav. What does dahav mean? Zahav, because Dalid and Zayin are interchangeable between Aramaic and Hebrew. Now take this word Gidavraya and change the Dalid into a Zayin. Gizbaraya. You automatically have the word which means treasurers. Now, Ditavraya, don't do anything with the Dalid over here. Just leave the Dalid as it is. What happens if you take the Dalid and the Tav? What do you have? Dat! Datiyim, Chiloniyim, Charedim, Ditavraya are the religious leaders, the leaders of Dat in the country. I wonder why they come fifth in this, or sixth, what is it? Tiftoye. So there are those who say that Tiftoye means the ones who carry out the law. Police, border police, Tiftoye. So Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather them all together. V'chol shiltonei midinota, and all of the rulers in the states. And what does he want from them? Lemeite lechanukat tzalmo, they should come to the dedication of the statue. Watch the words that he is using. Just as in Ezra and Nehemiah, we had the chanukat bet hamikdash, and when we had the chanukah of the walls of Yerushalayim, he is making a chanukat tzalmo. The hakim Nebuchadnezzar Malka, that Nebuchadnezzar the king erected. This phrase is going to be repeated a number of times. We're always going to be reminded that this was erected by who? You know who made it? A man made it. And the man is Nebuchadnezzar, who happens to be Melech. Beit Ayin, then. Now watch. Once you learned the Pasuk before, you're not going to have much difficulty with this Pasuk. Then the Pasuk tells us that in fact they all gathered together. Beit Ayin, then, Mitkanshin, who were gathered together, the Yachas Dar Benaya, the Signaya, the Pachavosa, the Adar Gozraya, the Gedavraya, the Dotavraya, Tiftaye, the Chol Shultane Medinta, the Chanukat Salma, the Hakim, the Nebuchadnezzar Malka. That Nebuchadnezzar, like the Chagat, yeah. Everything, in other words, exactly as you're going to watch all sorts of repetitions here. The Hakim, again, the Hakim, Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Nebuchadnezzar the king erected. V'koim v'komin l'kaveil tzalma, and they stood. Komin comes from the word lakum. They stood before the tzalem again for the third time. The hakim Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar erected, and over here he isn't even referred to as Melech at all. V'choroza korei v'choil. Choroze is the announcer. Hear ye. The who? From the... That's right, from the word kruz. Hear ye. Called b'choil with great strength. You heard the voice that announced. L'chon omrin. To you it is now said. Amamaya umaya v'lishonaya. Amamaya from the word am, nations. Umaya, peoples. V'lishonaya in all tongues. Hear ye, people of all peoples, nations, tongues. Be'idona, a word we've had before, and we're going to have it again. Idon is the time. Idon in modern Hebrew, Idon refers to an era or an epic. But here in Brich Shmei, Desagidna, and here a lot of words that are going to come up in this chapter. I should have numbered the pages, but I didn't. You have Brich Shmei on the back. No, the one sheet has both sides. Printing on both sides. The one that has it on both sides is on one of the sides. If I confused you, you'll notice there's a little break over there. You know, we had to put together two pieces of paper. Disagidna kamei, we bow down before him, umi kamei diukar uraita, and we bow down before the preciousness of his Torah, b'chol idan v'idan, at all times. Idan v'idan. The word idan is going to become terribly important here in Daniel. Idan is a time. Yes? Not bad. Not bad. They return to Sarah Edna, in other words, the time. The time, maybe the word period, or that which happens from time to time with a woman, it happened to her again, very good. Talk me out. The Chol Idan V'Idan. Anyway, it says, back to our puzzle. V'Idan Adi Tishmu'un, at the time that you're going to hear. Now, here also we're going to have a pasuk that's going to be repeated three times at least, and there are a lot of differences of opinion as to the precise translation of each one of these words, so I'm going to go through it, and you may call out if you have some other translation. Be'idono di tishmo'un, at the time that you will hear, kol karna, the sound of the karna. Karna can either be a trumpet or a shofar. Mashrokita, a whistle. Not everybody says that it means a whistle. They are either wind instruments or string instruments, except for one or two that are like drum and cymbal that are neither wind nor string. And the ones that are wind or strings, on each one there's a machloket, is it wind or string? Mashrokita seems, according to most, to be wind. Wind, so therefore it can either be a flute, a pipe, or a whistle. Whistle. Where do we have it in Tanakh? Lama yashavta al hamishpatayim lishmoa shirikot adarim. Shoftim, chapter 5, the song of Deborah. And if you don't know that, was it Yigal Chalik? Lama yashavta yashavta bein hamishpatayim. Charles knows it from England, you understand? Where Devorah asks about those who didn't come to participate in the battle at the side of Devorah and Barak ben Avinom. Lama yashavta bein hamishpatayim, why did you sit over there near the boundary? Lishmoa shrikot adarim, to hear the whistles of the shepherds who are leading the sheep. In other words, you're going to remain in your pastoral quiet life while Jews are fighting for their lives elsewhere. So they're shirikot adarim, the whistle, the sound. And I imagine that the shepherds had whistles with which they would gather their shepsalot together. Katros, many say katros is, here I have a translation over here, navel, a harp. That's what it says, a harp, okay. Sabcha is neither wind nor string. It's either cymbals, or according to some, it may be a drum, or... What do you have?
The word here that I never heard. Three gongs. I never heard.
You know what that is? You ever see the triangle? Somebody in the back who once every 50 years in the Philharmonic gives a bang, and he stands there for years, and it's most probably toward the end of Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture. There's this fellow, a whole lifetime he learns to wait for the moment when he bangs the cymbals, and the other, okay. That's what it is. It's one of those. Psamtanin. And nobody translates it that way. Nobody translates it that way, except of... How does Sensino translate it?
Psaltery.
So I know what... You know what a psaltery is? A psaltery is most probably an organ. Isn't that what's used in churches? A what?
Instrument.
Oh. No, we're by the next one. Psanterin. Oh, so the triangular, that's what I was correct. Now the psanterin.
No, that's not the one. That's the
triangle.
This is the
triangular.
This is also triangular.
All right, you know, let's... All right, I'm... Like a harpsichord. Everybody's becoming. All right, let's see. Santarin. Anyway, all that I have over here in the Das Mikra, which most probably is the last word, is that there's a machloka tamafarshim here, whether it's a wind instrument or a string instrument. By the way, I most probably a piano would be a string instrument. Isn't a piano a string instrument? Huh? Percussion. Yeah, percussion, because we are already more...
sophisticated.
Yeah, sophisticated. That was the word I was looking for. We're more sophisticated, but really it's strings, and the music come from strings. One moment. Now, don't think what you're going to think, even though you may have a right to think it. Symphonia. Obviously the word...
Symphony.
Symphony. And here on symphonia there is also a machloket, and this comes from the Greek symphonia. This is an Aramaic word that comes from the Greek, and it could be one of... and here also you should know that there is a machloket, whether it's a wind instrument or a string instrument.
A bagpipe?
Yeah. That's very nice.
Harmony.
V'chol zenei zemara. V'chol zenei zemara. In addition to the fact that they've listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 instruments by name, that was not only that, there were all other kinds of zemara is music or instruments. The word zenei, and I'll tell you, maybe one of the things that I will accomplish over here is get you to occasionally look into Targum Onkelos. The word, it appears in a number of times in Bereshit, when it talks about the creation, it says, V'chol minei esev, or esev leminehu, eitz leminehu. The word minehu is always translated as zenei. Zenei means all kinds of music. What do you... They use... That's it. When you talk about a new species or a kind, you use the word zan. Correct. Very good. Very good. So at least we're beginning to see how Aramaic words have made their way, or Talmud words have made their way into... you're a gardener, right? When they have a different species of tomato or something, it's called a zan chadash. Or a zan is a species. So what does 57 have to...
57
zan. All right, Heinz 57 is zan. Okay, we'll have to let the... I'll have to let the OU know this. All right. What are you supposed to do at that moment? Now, do you know what's significant? You know what's significant at this point? You know what you have to imagine? Look at the next few words. Tiplun, you should fall. Vitizgadun, and you should bow. Tizgadun, by the way, we had the word, that word we had in Brich Shmei, we just read it. Disagidna kame, I bow before him. Everybody should fall and bow. Letzelen dahava, to the golden statue. The hakim Nebuchadnezzar malka, zum ferden mal, I think, that Nebuchadnezzar the king has erected. You know what you have to imagine? Lahavdal. Elef alfe alofim havdalos. Vahakohanim, vahaon. And what was everything accompanied by in the Beis HaMikdash? Do you know what was a significant part of the Beis HaMikdash? You had to have shira. You had to have all sorts of clay negina. You needed instruments. You needed... All of these were part of the... Mamish, the halacha of how service in the Beit HaMikdash is to be done. He is mimicking all of that in the Valley of Dura with a statue that stands on a base that was made from the spoils of the Beit HaMikdash. He wants to take the place of Beit HaMikdash. And in a sense, of course, he wants to take the place of God himself. He sees himself as God. He was not the only one who saw himself as God. Paro Melech Mitzrayim also. Liya Ori Vani Asitini. The river, the Nile is mine, and I made it. Now wait a minute. Uman Dilo Yipel Diyuz God? The one, the person who is not going to fall down and bow, ba shata yitremei, ba shata, at that time, yitremei will be thrown, will be cast, lego atun nuro yakidato. Atun is a furnace. Lego atun, into the furnace, nuro, a fire, Yakidito, that's burning. Anybody who doesn't bow down when you hear, when the...
That doesn't mean necessarily something statue. That means in your home or wherever you are.
No. Because it says that they all gathered. Take a look at the Pasuk. Pasuk said they all gathered in Pasuk 3, the end of Pasuk 3, which is a long Pasuk. The Komin, they stood. Lekovel Tzalma. They stood before the statue. Yes, Toby?
I have to ask you something in regard to the psychology of Lukasa Sefta. Here he is told that basically he's going to be overthrown and that his kingdom is not going to last. And here, is this to reassure himself that he does this, that he makes the statue, that he puts him up as a god?
Toby, I'll tell you that the question is a good question. However, I will not answer the question now, because for a fuller understanding of the psychology of Nebuchadnezzar and all Rishoyim like him, we're going to need at least one more chapter.
Okay.
I got a reprieve. Now we can go further. Okay. Kol Kaveil Dina. Therefore, as a result, Bei Zimna, at that time, Kidei Shom in Kol Amamaya, when all nations will hear, Kol Karna, Mashro Kitsa, Katros, Sapcha, Besantadin, Vechol Zenei Zemara, and I'm not going to repeat the translation of them all, when one is going to hear all of these instruments, Noflin Kol Amamaya, Umayo Velishamayo, all peoples, nations, and tongues, Sogdin, they bow down. Letzelem Tahava, the Hakim Nebuchadnezzar Malka, to the golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar the king had erected. Kol Kovel Dinah, Bezinah, as a result of this, Kol Kovel Dinah, Bezin, at that time, Krivu Guvrin Kazdoyin, a number of Chaldean Kazdi men, that means Babylonians, Krivu, they came close, Va'achalu Karzion Di Yehudaye. Beautiful term. Achalu Karzehon means to talk Lashon Hara. A number of Babylonians came over and they talked Lashon Hara about the Jews. Lo Telech Rochil Ba'amecha, you shall not go as a talebearer. The Targum says Lo Techal Kurtzon. What does Techal Kurtzon? Rashi says that, you know how they used to talk Lashon Hara? A person would come into somebody else's house, listen, have a glaze of latte and a cookie, and as he would sit there and eat, he would consume people with his mouth. So the term for Lashon Hara is Achli Kurtzehon. There is another meaning in Kurtzehon. Kurtzehon Likrotz Ba'inayin means to make wink with the eye. Sometimes you can kill people with a wink of the eye. So the Kortzehon either represents the, you know, like I imagine a Shabbos afternoon tea, the first thing you start talking is about the rabbi, right? After half an hour, after you finished off the rabbi and there's nothing left of him, you go to the Rebbetzin, right? Okay. When people gather together to have tea and a shmooze, it's a very, very dangerous time. To maintain a conversation on a dignified level is quite a challenge. Ochli kurtzeil. Now, what's important though? I have no idea. I don't know. A blood cell? I don't know. Could be. If that's true, that would be a great shot over here. Anyway, what do we see is they're coming to talk Lashon Hara about the Jews. I will check it. Ano v'omdin. They lifted their voices and they said, L'Nevuchadnezzar Malko, to Nevuchadnezzar the king. Malko la'ol min chayi. The king, long live the king. Malko la'ol min chayi. Anta Malko. You king, Samta Ta'im, you made a law. You promulgated a law. Dikol Enash, that every person, Diyishma, who's going to hear the sound of the Karno, Mashro, Kosa, Katro, Sapkov, Santedin, Sintonia, the Chol, Zenei, Zemora, Yipel, Vigizgud, Lechelum, Dahava, you passed the law saying that when anybody hears all of these sounds, they're supposed to fall and bow before the statue of gold. Umandi lo yipel v'yizgod, and whoever does not fall and bow, yitrimei, will be thrown into the go atun nuro yogdata, into the furnace that's burning fire. So we want to tell you, itai, there are guvrin yehudain, Jewish men. Dimanita yatom, you appointed them al avidat medinat bavel. You appointed them upon all of the work of the state of Bavel. By the way, that was the last pasuk in chapter 2. The last pasuk in chapter 2, pasuk 49, was after Daniel had interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "V'Daniel ba'al min malka." Daniel asked of the king, "Umani alavidita dimedinat Bavel," and he appointed over all the works of the Bavel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? So now he says, you know that there are people whom you have appointed over all of Bavel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Guvrayi Ilech. These men, Lo Somu Allah, Aloch, Malkotain. King, they didn't pay attention to your law. Lelohoch Lo Polchin. They don't serve your God. And to the golden statue that you have erected, they didn't bow. You should know.
When he had this assembly of satraps and governors, where was Daniel? Oh, this wasn't next to the king.
What a beautiful question. The Gemara asks, the Daniel Heichon Hoya, where was Daniel? I have about 7 answers, but it waits for the end of the chapter. Daniel is not going to be mentioned in this chapter at all. The only ones who are going to be mentioned are Hananiah, Mishael, Bar Azariah. Yes?
I don't understand. Why were all these people gathered in front of this idol if they didn't mean to bow down to them?
Who? Three people.
I'm saying all the nations came.
And they bowed down.
Why would any of them come to begin with if they didn't have the
Lord? They were... Nebuchadnezzar said that everybody has to gather. At the beginning of the parak, it says to gather all the satraps. It says the michnash. I said beknishta knos. Gather them all together. They were all gathered.
Why would he not want them to bow down to himself?
So now you want to know. So you want to know already the psychology of Nebuchadnezzar. So first of all, now I already explained that. Because what he wants to do is, he wants to undo the dream of the last chapter. The dream of the last chapter is the statue that is shattered, and in that statue there is a head of gold. He's going to make a statue that is all gold, and everybody's going to bow down to it. And by that, it means he's going to cancel out, he thinks he's going to cancel out the dream of the chapter before.
The other thing is they're making the whole statue gold, making a claim for all eternity.
All right, fine. He's making a claim to all of eternity. That's fine. That's fine. Now, wait a minute. Somebody else asked me something here that I wanted to answer, and I took care of all of your questions? All right, good. Huh? Oh. And that's a, and it's a, it's the, but I said that that's a question that the, all of the Mepharshim, and beginning with the Gemara, they all explain where Daniel was. I can tell you one thing. Daniel wasn't there. The question is, why wasn't Daniel there? Is it possible that Daniel fled so that he shouldn't have to be present there? Then the question is going to be, why didn't Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah flee? The Medrash is going to talk about that. The next question, of course, is, do all peoples have to bow down, or were only representatives of nations invited? One Medrash that says only representatives of all nations who would represent the nation. And there were three representatives of each nation, which means Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah were the only Jews who were invited to be there. If we say that all peoples had to bow down, then of course we're going to have a serious problem. How did Jews indeed bow down? But that's going to lead us to another halachic problem. This is a machloket amongst the Rishonim. More than the Rishonim, even the Tanoim disagree about this. Was this idol worship, or was it a statue? In other words, are people bowing down here to a deity, or are people bowing down to a statue that represents Nebuchadnezzar? So it may be some form of, there may be some prohibition in Torah about it, but it's not idol worship. There's a big difference between idol worship or bowing down before a statue. And there are two approaches in the Rishonim. Yes? So you should know, in these, the words at the end of this pasuk that we just learned, Both opinions depend on this, how you read this pasuk. The words you just read. Those who hold that it was a real idol, because what did they say about Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah? Lelahot lo folchin, we don't worship your God, l'tzelem dehava dehakent, and to this golden statue that you have erected, we don't bow. Saying them in the same breath seems to indicate statue equals deity. But I can read it another way. Do you know that? Lelahach lo palchem, these people don't serve your God, and therefore they don't bow down to your statue of gold. But the statue of gold is a statue, in other words, it's pledging allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. It's not pledging allegiance to an idol. So I'm telling you, it's a machloket Rishonim, and it's a machloket Medrashim. And we will show you the Medrashim. Yes? So therefore, if you remember, and it's good that you mentioned this, Mordechai is going to conduct himself in the tradition of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And wait a minute, not only in that tradition, but more than that. The same machloket that you have over here with regard to this statue, the same machloket you have by Haman, the Gemara that says that he had an idol on his around his neck. So therefore, it can mean therefore that by bowing to Haman, you're bowing not only to a person, but you're also bowing to an idol. And you know, everything, all of the factors that you have here are going to be by Mordechai. And then, of course, Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachaveh, and Mordechai does not bend nor bow. So I said, if you remember the shir that I said, but you know, I may repeat some elements of that here. That was a shir on the Gilat Esther. You know, what's taking place at this moment in history is extremely, extremely significant as far as the Jewish people are concerned. Because what I had talked about once was, remember, there's going to be a machloket. Why was there a decree upon the Jewish people to be destroyed in the days of Haman? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. There's the famous conversation between the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The students asked their Rebbe, "Mipnei ma nitchayvu son'eim shel Yisrael sheva'oto hador kloya?" The students of Shimon Yechoy asked their great Rebbe, And remember, this is, of course, taking place about 600 years after the story of Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Ahasuerus. They asked, why was there a threat of total destruction upon the Jews of the realm, of all realms, in the days of Mordechai and Esther? So Rav Shimon Yochai says to his students, Imru Atem, you tell me, you most probably thought about it, why there was a near Holocaust. So they said, yes. You know why? Because Jews enjoyed the party of Ahasuerosh. So Rav Shimon Yochai turns to his students and he says, if so, the Jews in Shushan should be destroyed. Why the Jews of a whole world? So the students turn to him and say, okay, Rebbe, now it's your turn. And Morata, you tell us. So Rav Shimon Yochai says to his students, Mipnei shehishtachavu latzelen bimei Nebuchadnezzar, because they bowed to the statue in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He says that the threat of total destruction upon the Jews of the whole world some 45-50 years later is because of the fact that Jews bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. It means that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai holds that it was not only three representatives of each nation, but entire nations had to bow down, which means, of course, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, all Jews bowed down before the statue, except for three. Three Jews refused to bow down, and they saved the dignity of a Jewish people, but there's a threat of total destruction to come upon them. But there's another difficulty. The difficulty, of course, is the following. The difficulty is, if this is real idol worship, can you imagine all of Klal Yisrael bowing down for idols? Jews have given their lives for less than that. Jews are going to bow down for an idol? And we're going to have to line up all of the various opinions. There are opinions on both sides. There's a Tesis, Rabbeinu Tam in Tesis says this in a few places. We have to show you a few Gemaras that says, no, it was not idol worship. It was Andarta Shel Malachim. The word Andarta, you of course know already. A monument. It was a monument that a king made. It was not idol worship. I'm just telling you that there are a lot of serious questions that have to be dealt with here. Yes?
In the days of David and Shlomo, how did you bow down to their king?
I have no idea.
But it says they bowed to their king.
I have no idea.
Make a judgment as to whether this was bowing in terms of showing respect or worshiping the idol.
All right, fine. We will deal with that, yes, we will deal with that in the course of, yes. Okay. Hang in, I heard everything. Further. They died in Nebuchadnezzar, then Nebuchadnezzar biregaz v'chama. I don't even think I have to translate that. Biregaz v'chama, with a rage and fury, chema, anger, amar, he said, la'itoyo, to bring, l'shadrach, meshach, va'aveid, nego, to bring the three of them. They died in then, guvreye ileich, these men, hey, soyu kodam malko, were brought before the king. In other words, in the same pasuk it says he orders that they should be brought, and then they were immediately brought. On Nebuchadnezzar bar malachim, Nebuchadnezzar lifted his voice and he said to them, "Hatzda." This is a word you don't come across, but "Hatzda," is it true? It comes from the word similar to the word "yatziv," emet v'yatziv. V'nachon doesn't sound too much the same. It's all right, you know, sometimes you have to learn just a plain Aramaic word. And he said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, le'elohai lo itechon polchin, you do not worship my God, o le'tselem dahavati hakemet, lo sogdin, and you don't bow down to my, statue of gold? Ka'an, he is not going to put them to death or punish them on the basis of their past lack of performance. What he's going to do is he's going to give them another opportunity. And then he says, Ka'an, therefore now, Now, Hein Itechon Atidin, if in the future, and future over here doesn't mean too far in the future, are you going to the Beidono the Tishmon at the time that you hear Kol Kano Mashrokiso Katros Satcho Pesantanim the Suponya the Chol Zenei Zemora? When you hear all of that, Tiplun, you will fall down the Tizkidun and you will bow Litzalma the Avdes to the statue that I made the Hein Lot Tizkidun. And if you will not bow down, Bashato Titrimun, at that time you're going to be thrown in to the Go Atun Nuro Yokodata, into the burning furnace. Umanhu, and then he says, Umanhu Elah, and who is the God? Diyeshez Vinchon Min Yitoy, who can save you from my hands? Who's the God that's going to save you from my hands? Ano Shadrach Meshach Vavednego. Shadrach Meshach and Avednego answered, V'omrin L'malkan, they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They referred to him now, not as King Nebuchadnezzar, not as Nebuchadnezzar the king. They are now taking their lives, mamish, in their, they're taking their lives in their hands. They are throwing their lives away. And they say, Nebuchadnezzar, Lo chashin anachna al dino pidgam lahatavutach. Lo chashin comes from the word pshash. We're not concerned. Lo chashin anachna. We are not concerned. Al dino pidgam, on your command, lahatavutach, even to answer you. We're not even concerned about your demand that we should even bother to answer it. Hein itai, there is Elohamo di Anachna Falchan, there is a God to whom we worship. Yochul Sheizav Usano, he can save us. He can save us min atun and nuro yakadita. Umin yedach melko yesheziv. The word yesheziv, and we're going to have that in the davening also, mean we've had it now three times, four times, it means to save. We have a God who can save us from the fire, and from your hand, O King. Vehein la, and if not, and what happens if God doesn't save us? Vehein la, yedil hevelach malka, you should know, King, di lelahach lo itana palchin, to your God we will not worship, uletzelem tahavodi hakeint la nizgud, and to the statue of gold that you have erected, we're not going to bow down. We're talking about tremendous sense of Mesirut Nefesh. We are going to see in the Midrashim, number one, that Hanani, Mishloim, and Azariah had the opportunity to flee. They had the opportunity to flee. Said, we're going to see it in the Midrashim. According to certain Midrashim, we're going to have to filter through it all. And then there's one of the Midrashim that I gave you here is an absolutely unbelievable conversation. We'll have to read it in the Midrash. We will read it. Midrashim. Where the Medrash says that before they gave their lives, they went to ask Daniel, what should we do? So the so they went to ask Daniel what they should do. So Daniel says, "Listen, we have Yecheskel here." In Bavel, go ask Yecheskel. I mean, I love that. That's passing the buck. Under those circumstances, I have absolutely no complaints against Daniel that he passes the buck. So they come to Yecheskel, and the Medrash is going to show it in beautifully, you know, a number of psukim in Yecheskel. They come to Yecheskel. So Yecheskel says, "Listen, we're not going to bow down, and if we're not going to bow down, we're going to be thrown into the furnace. Will God stand by us?" So God communicates with Yecheskel, and Yecheskel says, "No, God is not going to stand by you." So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah say, "Despite that, we're going to go." And they leave. And immediately God appears to Yecheskel and he says, "Yecheskel, do you think I'm not going to stand by them? What do you think?" But they are not to know. They are not to know. Going on Kiddush Hashem means going on Kiddush Hashem. It can't be antiseptic. You can't go to give your life, sanctify God's name, and know that you have all of the the guarantees in advance. That's all. It's not going to work that way. It's just it's a fascinating medrash, and the medrash has a lot of halachic ramifications as well. So now you're asking, obviously, you have to assume that. One thing is for sure, I can guarantee you, Yecheskel did not bow down to the statue. Okay? So if Yecheskel didn't bow down to the statue, just as Daniel didn't bow down to the statue, they were not there. Some of the answers that will apply to Daniel are going to apply equally to Yecheskel. But you have to have patience. Another few psukim, and then we'll call it a day. Now, can I trust you to take those sheets home and bring them with you next week? I mean, can you be? I will. And of course, I may check and I may ask you, show me your sheets. Beidayin Nebuchadnezzar hitmalei chema. Then Nebuchadnezzar became full of anger. By the way, there are so many parallels between Daniel and Megillat Esther. The king is always getting angry. Hit melei chema, he became full of anger. Utzleim anpohi eshtami. Tzlam anpohi means the appearance of his face changed. You know when a person gets angry? Utzleim anpohi eshtami. Oh, that's nice. That's where the word litzalem comes from. Yeah, it comes from Tzelem and then Litzalem because a picture of the appearance of his face changed. Al Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he got angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I believe that in this chapter they are not once referred to as Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And there's a reason why they're not referred to as Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Because they represent to Nebuchadnezzar an attempt at the assimilation of the Jewish people into Babylonian society. You understand? Christopher, John, and I can't even think of Galician names anymore.
Timothy.
Huh?
Timothy.
And this Christopher, John, and Timothy are not going to bow down to his statue. He has failed completely in his attempt at assimilating them into Babel. Onei va'omar lemeze la'atuna. So he said, you know what you should do? He said, heat up the kiln. Make it hotter than it ever was. Chad Shiva, 7 times. Alpi chazei lemezia, the way in which it is normally heated. Ulegubrin gibore chayel di bechayle. And to men strong in his army, Omar, he said, lechafata. Lechafata means to tie. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Lemirme, throw them, La'atun, Nura, Yekidita, into the burning furnace. Beidayin, then, Guvraye, Ileich, these people, Kefisu, Bisarbolehon, Patshehon, Vikarbolathon, Ulevushehon, don't get worried. These are garments that they are wearing. They bound them, and here also we have a similar problem. Which garment? And most Mepharshim say Sarbolehon means coat, patshehon, pants, karbolaton, hats, ulefusheon, maybe jackets or shirts. They tied them up with their own clothing. Urimiv lego aton nuro yakodata, and they threw them into the burning furnace. There's a beautiful name of Chazal over here. Chazal say that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came before Nebuchadnezzar, and they knew that they were going to be thrown into the furnace, they came dressed in their most regal finery. And the Gemara learns from this that when you're facing a tough situation, and maybe the toughest situation of your life, don't permit your spirit to be broken. Don't give the enemy the feeling that we broke him. You know you're going to your death, but go there with dignity. Go there with great dignity. Don't be broken. Because they list over here 4 garments. I don't understand. You know, what are they wearing, all of this? All of their finery, their coats, their jackets, their hats. Not with a hat. A black hat, most probably. They're going, what are you talking about? No. They're going to go with dignity. Nothing is going to break them. Kol kaveil dinah. Just another few psukim. Kol kaveil dinah min di milas malka matzava because of this, when the word of the king, machzifah, when the king of the word was, the word of the king was strong. Machzifah, in a sense, comes from the word chutzpah meaning strong. Va'atuna eze yatira, and the kiln had great fire. Guvragi ilech dehasiku, these people, dehasiku lishadrach meshach va'aved nego, these people. Hasiku means not what you think. Huh? What do you think hasiku means? Huh? I'm sure you think it's from hasaka.
So.
They had heated up the hasaka. You know, this is real hasaka merkazit. No, it's not from that word. It can't, there's another word. Hasiku, they brought shadrach, and it means more, they brought them up to the kiln. Seems you have to go up. You know what word comes from this? A masok. A masok is a helicopter. A helicopter goes straight up. Ha siku. They brought up Shadrach Meshach Avinego. Katil himon shiviva dinura. The ones who brought them to the furnace were burned by the fire. And they go walking into the furnace. Katilu himon. Katilu himon. They were killed by Shviva Dinura. Ketel haketel badrachim rachman en etzman. Katilu himon. They were killed by the Shviva Dinura. The flames or the sparks of the fire. The Guvrayi ilech tlatehon. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Va'avednego, nefalu lego iru, nego atun nuro yakidoto mechaftin. They fell in, so you see that you had to bring them up, and then they fell, or they were pushed in to the furnace, mechaftin, as their hands were, as they were tied. A dying, one more pasuk at least, and then wait till finish the next week. A dying, then Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Nebuchadnezzar the king, Tava, v'kambid bahala. He quickly got up, one v'omar, and he said, lahatovrohi, to his advisers, halo kuvrin klosa remena lego nura mechaptin. But we threw in three people into the fire bound. Onayin v'omrin l'malka, they answered and said to the king, Yatsiva malka. Yatsiv, we had the word before, Yatsiva means true. Yeah, he says, weren't there three people that we threw in? They said, yes. Onay v'omrin, so the king said, Ha'ano chazei guvrin arba, but I see four people. Shirayin mahalchin begonar. Shirayin means untied, not bound. Four people are going for a tiyul. Mahalchim begonur are going in the furnace. V'chavol lo itabahon. There is no scratch on them, or there is no injury to them. V'reve derivi o. And the appearance of the fourth, domeh, is like. It's domeh lebaralahin, to a baralahin. What's a baralahin? An angel. Don't we say that in Brit Shemay? Don't we say it? Lo al enosh rochitzna, I don't depend on man. The lo al bar elohin samichna. I don't place my trust in a bar elohin. We're just going to have to stop over here. I had hoped that we would learn the whole chapter. It will take us another week, and then we'll try and figure out where Daniel was. We're going to try and figure out whether this was idolatry or it was not idolatry. Okay.